Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Here at the American Freedom Network on a sort of a gloomy Friday morning here overlooking the beautiful Monterey Bay. Anyway, our special guest this morning is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. The latest World Affairs Brief is completed. I'll probably be getting it today or tomorrow, but we'll get a preview of what it says. Good morning, Joel. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Stan. I'm very fine, thank you.
And what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, let's start off with the presidential veto.
All right.
As I pointed out last week in the World Affairs Brief, the Democratic war funding legislation gave the president, in the fine print, every possible loophole for not withdrawing from Iraq. So why the veto? Well, partially, it was because the administration's dogged agenda asserting primacy of the executive over Congress in matters of war, which is improper. However, the real reason is that the globalist cabal that controls this administration has no intention of leaving Iraq. So it's obvious that the administration does not want the public to have any expectations of withdrawal, something that a fixed date for initiating that withdrawal would certainly promote. And our purpose in Iraq is not to end the civil war, which, in my opinion, isn't possible to do by force anyway, but to prepare for further incursions on Iran and Syria. And there are little hints in the news, Dr. Stan, that surface now and then that confirm this extended warmongering agenda. Just this week, sources in Israel revealed that the Bush administration continues to veto any attempt by Israel to reach a comprehensive peace deal with Syria.
I thought that was so interesting, you know, because, you know, certainly Syria wants to talk to Israel, and Israel wants to talk to Syria, and we won't let them talk, you know, and this would be the one way of avoiding a war.
That's right. You know, even though I don't believe that there are legitimate purposes or legitimate intentions on the part of the Israeli globalist government under Olmert, nor the Syrian regime. I don't think they really want peace. They're looking for an excuse to go to war. Nevertheless, it's very telling that when the Israelis, I'll read you one quote from Stephen Zunes in Israel. He says, even as American officials reluctantly agreed last month to include Syrian representatives in multi-party talks on Iraq security issues, the Bush administration continues to block Israel from resuming negotiations with Syria over its security concerns. In 2003, Bashar Assad offered to resume peace talks with Israel, where they had left off 3 years earlier, but Israel, backed by the Bush administration, refused. Assad eventually agreed to re-enter peace negotiations without preconditions, but even these overtures were rejected. Now, this issue of preconditions is very, very important. The U.S. uses this against Iran. A precondition is that we won't talk to you unless you give up certain things prior to the talks. With Iran, they're saying, you've got to give up your nuclear program entirely. And Iran's response is, well, what is there to talk about then? You know, if the precondition is absolute capitulation, then there isn't anything to talk about. So it's really a catch-22 situation. It means that the U.S. has no intention of talking when they put preconditions that are so high that there's no room for negotiations. Now, indeed, as Stephen Zunes continues, he said, when Israel officials asked Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice about pursuing exploratory talks with Syria, her answer, according to the Israeli newspaper Haaretz, was, don't even think about it. Similarly, the Israeli daily Yediot Aharonot reports that Israeli government officials understood from President Bush that the United States would not take kindly to reopening a dialogue between Israel and Syria. So what do we make then about yesterday's talks between Condoleezza Rice and the foreign minister of Syria? You know, if I'm correct, why is Condoleezza Rice herself talking with Israel? Well, there is a certain amount of showmanship in diplomacy that has to go on before you justify an attack on a nation, so that the United States can give the appearance of having done some diplomacy. And those talks, I believe, will be used to justify a further hard line against Syria. Condoleezza Rice will come out of these talks and saying, well, we weren't able to reach an agreement and the Syrian position has hardened, other such verbiage, so as to justify a further movement towards a more militaristic solution.
Sort of like it was before the Second World War, when we were in negotiations with the Japanese all the time. We intended to go to war with them, but we were talking, of course, to the Japanese ambassador on a regular basis, trying to, at least as far as the public was concerned, avoid a war with Japan. So it's,
right, but when we see the actual negotiations, they were hardening their position. They were sticking it to Japan and making it difficult for them to reach a compromise.
Absolutely, but they couldn't let the American people know that, because the president had to say, you know, I hate war, I don't want war, I promise you no American boy will ever fight on foreign soil. All the time he was planning for war.
Yes, it just shows you that we can't trust our government. They are locked into this position of lying to the American people.
Right.
So I asked the question, as the Democrats dutifully meet at the White House yesterday and today to hammer out, quote, a compromise on emergency war funding, what is there to compromise? The only issue is a withdrawal date, and it will be a sellout. In fact, this is exactly what Harry Reid is talking about. What is potential? The potential in any negotiators no longer have a withdrawal date. That's off the table. They've completely sold out on that. They're talking about going back to the issue of benchmarks. And now this is a ruse. It's a pacifier to the anti-war crowd, but naturally benchmarks will make it appear as if all future failures are the blame of the puppet Iraqi government, not the Americans in Washington, who are actually calling the shots, twisting the arms of the al-Maliki regime. You know, I get weary of Republican shills in Congress continuing to harp on the old line that setting a date for withdrawal is stabbing our troops in the back. Polls of troops in the military show that a large portion of our troops are angry with the continued deployments and have grave doubts about our real purpose in Iraq. Many of our troops, including their parents, want us out of Iraq as well. Congress telling the president to pull back from Iraq isn't a betrayal of our troops. It allows them to withdraw from this quagmire and avoid further bloodshed. And another popular charge is that Congress is micromanaging the war and usurping the prerogatives of the commander-in-chief. I say baloney. If Congress has the exclusive power to declare war, which it does, it also has the exclusive power to rescind that declaration, which is what a date of withdrawal really means.
We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen here, the American Freedom Network.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Some churches believe that Christians will be raptured before the coming of the Great Tribulation. Have you heard this teaching? Have you wondered if it was true? The Watchman's Cry is an interesting book by Obadiah Frank that uses the Bible and clearly explains that this teaching is not true. You can get The Watchman's Cry from the American Freedom Network by calling 1-800-205-6245. This amazing book is only $10 postpaid. Get it now by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is a new book written by scientist Thomas Smith. In this self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you will learn the true cause of this disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer is available from the American Freedom Network for only $25 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
It's extensively referenced with helpful tables to learn what foods are good and which ones are not. This is a must-read for everyone.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, I guess, this morning. Joel Skousen. Joel, pick up the story.
Well, you know, the members of Congress will say, well, we don't have a declaration of war. And, in fact, Ron Paul attempted to get the Foreign Affairs Committee of the House to consider a declaration of war. And it's where that famous incident where Representative Henry Hyde actually denigrated the Constitution and said that declarations of war are anachronistic. And then his Democratic counterpart on the committee also lambasted the Constitution that it wasn't relevant anymore. This is the incident that Ron Paul has noted it was expunged from the tape-recorded record, as well as the private firm C-SPAN, which records these on videotape. That's what we call a conspiracy, when you have someone telephoning both the official recorder of these hearings, as well as C-SPAN, a private corporation, and getting them to excise the same material. It was the only thing that claimed to have technical difficulties. It's what Ron Paul says. These are the types of things that make reasonably people believe in conspiracies. You bet they are a conspiracy. But in any case, if the president has to seek even authorization to use force from Congress, which he did on the Iraq War, it cannot be unlimited in time. Congress has the power to withdraw that authorization. True, the president and his military can run the day-to-day operations as they see fit. That would be micromanaging if the Congress was talking about what battles to fight and when and where. But the president cannot claim to continue a war indefinitely if Congress says no, any more than the military can be claimed to be free from civilian control.
But by not objecting, by not cutting off the funding, they are giving tacit approval, just as they have, for all intents and purposes, given him tacit approval to invade Iran by withdrawing the amendment to the Defense Appropriations Bill that said that he couldn't attack Iran without their permission. By withdrawing that, he now has permission to go to war with Iran if he decides.
Absolutely. They had the power to say, you know, you shall not. Now, and those need to be binding resolutions, not just resolutions that would have no binding power. You know, the lots of ways that the Congress has of making it appear that they are for or against something, but in fact, when they don't put any teeth into it, they're just posturing. Now, in these briefs, I've clearly blamed the war agenda on the Bush administration, in particular the Cheney wing of the White House, which controls this neocon globalist strategy. But the insiders clearly have help from members of Congress, the CIA leadership, and the media, as is amply documented by the Bill Moyers expose of the media complicity and shilling for the war rationale. But members of the key Senate Intelligence Committee also knew something fishy was going on and kept silent, using the bogus excuse that Senate secrecy rules prevented their doing so. The Senate's number two Democrat says he knew that the American public was being led into the Iraq war, but remained silent because he was sworn to secrecy as a member of the Intelligence Committee. This, we're talking about Richard Durbin, who also was on television justifying and the self-serving biography of George Tenet, but that's another issue. What he said when talking on the Senate floor in the run-up to the Iraq War, he says, I was angry about it, but frankly, I couldn't do much about it because in the Intelligence Committee, we are sworn to secrecy. We can't walk outside the door and say this. Say the statement made yesterday by the White House is in direct contradiction to classified information that is being given to this Congress. absolutely untrue. Durbin could have said exactly those words, as long as he did not refer to anything specific of the intelligence that was actually revealed. He could have told all the world that there was a massive contradiction of information and demanded that the Senate not rely upon White House statements. After all, Dr. Stanton, that's what the Senate has an intelligence committee for, to judge the nature of what the White House is claiming. And he had the audacity to say, I couldn't have stepped out and said there was a contradiction. Absolutely untrue. Next, let's address the CIA's role in this false intelligence. It's obvious that there were many objections to the proposition that Iraq was linked to Al-Qaeda, but they were kept silent by the CIA director, George Tenet, whose job was to make sure the administration's justification for the war was sold to the public. In his book, At the Center of the Storm, this former director admits that Rumsfeld, Pentagon, and the White House officials in the vice president's office tried to subvert pre-Iraq war intelligence. Now, I thought at first that Tenet's biography would be mere self-serving, in a way to sacrifice himself in order to save his real bosses. But, in fact, it's what he refuses to say and what he doesn't talk about that is even more telling than the few things that he does admit to. First, he protects the CIA itself and his knowledge that there were two sides of the agency. There's an above-ground, sincere side whose analysts opposed the linkage between Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda. And there's a dark underground side, which works for the globalists, does the illegal acts out of sight and mind of Congress and the American people. And George Tenet, any CIA director, works mostly with his dark side, and they have to keep the white side, the above-ground side, in check. Now, I'm not talking about overt, covert differences here, the fact that there are things that are public and that there are things that are secret in the CIA. I'm talking about legal, proper things, whether overt or covert, versus things that are done illegally to service an evil globalist agenda, which were always done in secret. And those secret operations are not even known to the white above-ground side of the CIA. Now, Tenet denied that his analysts bowed to any political pressure. Well, yes and no. True, he didn't actually twist arms to have agents change their minds. Tenet simply isolated those who opposed and blocked them from having any final say. It was Tenet and his chiefs that did the manipulation themselves. So all Tenet's protestations about how unfair it was for the White House, specifically Cheney, to make talking about his slam dunk remark and justifying there, you know, there's some truth to that in the sense that Cheney is claiming that, you know, we were innocent. Tenet just said, yeah, this was a slam dunk, this was an easy justification. And what Tenet is saying, that he was basically following orders from Cheney to make this a slam dunk. Tenet pinned a lot of the blame on the falsification of intelligence on the Pentagon's Office of Special Plans, which was the driving force in pushing the war. But Larry Johnson, former CIA, called the Office of Special Plans a hodgepodge put together by people with an agenda. The administration, using this office, started with a presumption of guilt on Iraq, and the OSP, Office of Special Plans, was to hang the ornaments on the tree, meaning to justify and flesh out the justification for going to war. And true enough, this is merely like one part of the team pointing to a disbanded former member of the team and shifting blame to them. That's what Tenet was doing by trying to shift blame to the Office of Special Plans. In fact, they're all working for the same globalist, Cheney, in the White House, Cheney being the director of this administration on behalf of other people unbeknownst to the public further on the line. Now, Tenet makes much grief over his reputation being besmirched. So now George is worried about his reputation. He tells 60 Minutes, at the end of the day, you only have what you have is your reputation built on trust and your personal honor. And when you don't have that anymore, where do you go? Well, let's analyze, Stan, for your listeners, see how much trust and honor we should give this lackey of two globalist administrations. Of course, he started out with Clinton and engages in the most criminal conduct by secretly training Palestinian Authority special forces in explosives and bomb building at the CIA's secret farm, what they call the farm, training facility. They promptly returned to Israel, used their newfound knowledge to train other terrorists to send more suicide bombers into Israel. Israel has documented this training. more directly to the point, here's an example of tenants' obfuscation and evasion related to secret prisons and torture. 60 Minute recently interviewed him relative to other high-value detainees at Guantanamo, including Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. The issue of torture by any other name came up, and here's the interview between Scott Pelley of CBS News and Tenet. Tenet claims, after Scott introduces the topic of torture, the image that's portrayed is we sat around the campfire and said, oh boy, now we get to torture people. Well, we don't torture people. Let me say that again to you, Scott. We don't torture people, okay? Pelley says, come on, George. Tenet, we don't torture people. Pelley, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Tenet, we don't torture people. Pelley, waterboarding. Tenet, we do not. I don't talk about techniques. Pelley, it's...
I mean, I heard that interchange. I'm thinking, are the American people really going to believe Tenet when he says, we don't torture people? You've seen the pictures of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and you know very well that they've admitted that they've tortured people. Otherwise, they wouldn't have put out all the directives exonerating the members of the CIA for torture.
That's right. And Tenet comes back and says, now listen to me. I want you to listen to me. The context is post 9/11. I've got reports of nuclear weapons in New York City, apartment buildings that are going to be blown up, planes that are going to fly into airports all over again, plot lines that I don't know. I know this program has saved lives. I know we've disrupted plots. Of course, my comment is we only have the government's word on this, no verifiable confirmation of any of their claims about disrupting plots, except in plots where government agent provocateurs were involved, which means that they put these people up to it and then disrupted it so that they could claim to have a victory. So Pelley says, well, what you're essentially saying, Tenet, is that some people need to be tortured. You're telling me that the enhanced interrogation, and then he gets cut off by Tenet, we do not torture. Listen to me. You're making, and Pelley interrupts him, you call it in the book enhanced interrogation. Well, that's an assumption, Tenet says. Well, that's what we call it, Pelley says, and that's a euphemism. And Tenet, I'm not having a semantic debate with you. I'm telling you what I believe. Pelley, has anyone ever died in the interrogation program? Tenet, no. Pelley, are you sure of that? Tenet, yeah.
And we know that they have died.
Yes, and he's... And then he qualifies it, Tenet says, in this program that you and I are talking about, well, no. Pelley, have you ever seen any of these interrogations done? Tenet, no. My question is, well, then how do you know nobody's died in there? Tenet was obviously trapped in his euphemistic lies, insisting that enhanced interrogation does not constitute torture.
And then he has the audacity at the end to say, at the end of the day, all you have is your honor. And I'm thinking,
yeah,
are the American people gullible enough to believe that this man, who's been on 60 Minutes for, you know, for 40 minutes of the program, wasn't lying when he was making these absurd statements?
That's
right. You know, he repeated, he looked so, you know, he looked into the camera, but if you notice very carefully, he kept swallowing, you know, as if he was just sort of gulping, hoping he could keep up the charade.
That's right. That's right. Well, so there we have it. We have more covering, and it's really a sad situation when the media gives so much play to a book. They're going to guarantee this guy sells hundreds of thousands of books, going to make millions for he and his publisher on this. And this is a man who you know, received a Medal of Freedom from President Bush for this kind of scurrilous work, and he should be turning that in if he's, and refusing that Medal of Freedom if he is, in fact, guilty. Pentagon whistleblower Lieutenant Colonel Karen Kiwakowski had a more angry reaction to all the media coverage given Tenet. She says, untold hundreds and thousands of Iraqis are dead, maimed, and traumatized. Millions of Iraqis live as impoverished tenants in their own country or refugees elsewhere, and this number grows daily on both sides. How nice it must be for everyone involved. A clean studio, the sober semblance of mainstream media curiosity, just the right note of moral moral outrage and a former Bush insider spilling the beans of what more could CBS or the rest of us ask for? Well, she's saying we need justice. We need, these people need to go to prison for all the death and destruction that they have caused, including 3,000 American troops and 100 just last month.
Amen. We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Salatin here at the American Peace Network.
Renting and start owning. Jamie LaRue with Destiny Lending here. Take advantage of today's buyer's market and buy a home with a low-interest VA-backed mortgage. It's a benefit you earned. For 10 years, I've had the honor of helping veterans utilize their VA benefit. Call 970-214-1374 and get more information on your VA loan and start looking for a home of your own. 970-214-1374.
I'm speaking with Angela Smith with Destiny Lending. Manufactured homes have been difficult to finance. Has that changed?
Yes. We have programs for up to 100% financing on single and double wides, with or without land. Rural homes also qualify. Stop paying outrageous interest rates just because you own a manufactured home.
So call Angela Smith with Destiny Lending, 970-988-3840. That's 970-988-3840.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
How many of you battle the symptoms of failing health with toxic medications and inconvenient supplements? Do you feel like you've been fighting battles but losing the war? How about winning the war for a change? Introduce BioSuperfood in your diet and increase the metabolic activity of each cell in your body for greater repair, detoxification, and regeneration. Gain immediate energy, boost your immune system, and restore your health with extraordinary whole and organic nutrients in BioSuperfood. Win the war against disease. Call now, 877-288-9116.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. Joel, before we go on, could you get your website out and so people will know how they could subscribe to the World Affairs Brief?
Thank you, Dr. Stan. The World Affairs Brief is my weekly news analysis service. There is a modest subscription price to subscribe to it, and you can your listeners can read all about it at worldaffairsbrief.com. That's www.worldaffairsbrief.com. And if your listeners want a one-time free sample copy to evaluate the World Affairs Brief and read a typical analysis, they can email me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. That's editor@worldaffairsbrief.com, and I'll be happy to send a free issue to you. There's lots of other stuff on the World Affairs Brief website. There is, of course, all of the daily news is posted there by my volunteer research staff. And so you can read synopsis of the major news stories that have been culled from the hundreds and thousands that are available out there. So it helps you in terms of getting the news at least the raw stories. My analysis, of course, goes much deeper than the media presentations because, as we're talking about today, I like to give the things behind the scenes that I know are going on and what the real agendas are between the major playmakers in the world. There's also a synopsis of various of my books that I've written in the preparedness field, and there's also archival material about many of the government cover-ups that I have commented on, and that, which brings us to one of the new topics. There is an explosive news story here about the confessions of E. Howard Hunt, one of the Watergate break-in burglars who has confessed that he was part of the working for the CIA in a management role over the assassination of President Kennedy. You know, there's a deadly silence on the mainstream media, Dr. Stan. This should be big news. That a major figure from the Watergate era is admitted to being part of the plot to assassinate the president on behalf of the government.
Yes, yeah, so I think it's amazing sometimes when, you know, an extremely important book is never mentioned, and then, of course, a book like this one by George Tenet, which is obviously a cover-up, you know, to perpetuate the myth of what happened on 9/11, you know, and then, of course, the reason for going to war. That gets amazing coverage, and yet, of course, this book by Howard Hunt's son, you know, is just not heard of at all. And I can think of a dozen books, and suddenly, 10 years later, I'll suddenly read about a book which is pivotal to understanding key parts of history.
Well, it's kind of interesting to analyze this, and let's take a little bit of time with what E. Howard Hunt says. I think one of the things that people have to understand about a conspiracy of this proportion to take down the President of the United States, that even though E. Howard Hunt claims to have known the reasons, and he gives us the reason that JFK was threatening to break up the CIA into 1,000 little pieces, most often these are simply rationale excuses that are given from the higher-up CIA people to the CIA people who are doing the job so that they have some justifiable reason for why would we be taking down the president. They usually have to give them some superficial reason. That doesn't mean that that's the actual reason. It doesn't mean that E. Howard Hunt, even as a participant, had access to the real reasons. He only had access to what they told him. And it seemed logical enough to him, though, you know, he obviously didn't hear the remark by Kennedy himself that he was going to break the CIA into 1,000 pieces. And in fact, I'm fairly skeptical of all of the superficial reasons that have been given, attributing to Kennedy some motive that he was going to buck the establishment. I mean, this is a man who's been a playboy from his very beginning. You know, the Kennedy family made their wealth through bootlegging and through connections with the mafia. These people under the father had, you know, great aspirations to get into mainstream politics. And the father, Joseph P. Kennedy, was made ambassador to Britain during World War II, bought his relationship into the Roosevelt administration, but was really despised as an ambassador. Roosevelt wanted to get rid of him on several occasions because he was a meddler in affairs, wasn't a real high-level player in the globalist conspiracy, and didn't know how to actually handle much of the sensitive negotiations between the U.S. and Britain. So Roosevelt and Churchill would bypass their ambassadors many times. So this was not a high-level player, even John F. Kennedy as president of the United States. He was, typical of most presidents, somewhat of a puppet. Now, you can say, well, he was going to use his power to threaten the establishment in some way, but there's just nothing to indicate that this is a man of that kind of character and high-mindedness that would simply buck the establishment. There's nothing in his youth, nothing in his days as a congressman that indicate this kind of stand-up to the people who put me in power attitude. We do know, however, that Kennedy was a very strong womanizer in the White House, bringing all kinds of women besides Marilyn Monroe into almost nightly romps in the White House, and this was leaking out. It's my estimation that the real reason for taking down the president is that their larger agenda, the globalist larger agenda, which was to socialize the United States in terms of socialism, was faltering badly. The program which Kennedy was pushing, essentially the same as the Great Society program of Lyndon Johnson, was failing in Congress and would have continued to fail. It was even doubtful if he could have gotten reelected. The opposition was growing so strong to his legislative agenda. By martyring John F. Kennedy, they were able to, in essence, silence the opposition. No one could go up against the New Society ideas of JFK, and they passed handily under LBJ in the next Congress. And plus the fact that we had monuments to JFK and boulevards named for him, Cape Canaveral was changed to Cape Kennedy Space Center, and all of those things meant to give a real lift to this socialist agenda. In like manner, I think Martin Luther King was assassinated for the martyr syndrome. Because the civil rights movement took a huge boost, nobody could say no to it after they killed Martin Luther King. He once again was a womanizer with prostitutes constantly, and was a scurrilous person to be named as a reverend, somebody who was a hypocrite extraordinaire and a plagiarizer even in his doctoral thesis. But you see, now he's a hero in the American eyes, and and they have sealed up the records of his actual life in the archives of the National Archives in order to keep people from seeing it. That's why they've sealed up parts of the body, the brain, and other parts that were taken from the autopsy of JFK for 50 years to keep people from finding out that, he was in fact killed by multiple assassins and they were tied to the CIA. Now, E. Howard Hunt just happens to be one of those people. He was not one of the trigger pullers, but he was there with Chauncey Holt. They were two of the three who were the tramps that were found in the boxcar, and it's clearly visible by the pictures that you can see. His son recognizes his father as one of the tramps, and the father admits in the tape that was delivered to his son with instructions only to reveal this after his death, and it's a confession of his role managing locally the JFK assassination in Dallas.
And we'll be back for the last segment in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
To order your cassette copy of this program, call the American Freedom Network at 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
I'm speaking with Angela Smith of Destiny Lending. Can investment properties be profitable?
Yes. Today's rentals are cash flowing. Bank-owned properties are selling at 70% of value. With mortgage rates still at a 40-year low and little to no down payment needed, now is definitely the time to buy.
So call Angela Smith at Destiny Lending, 970-988-3840. Call Angela now, 970-988-3840.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Many Christians have health problems that hinder their quality of life and their ministry. The Green Herb is offering you an opportunity to help these hurting Christians. You can have your own Green Herb home business for just $950. This includes inventory, training, samples, and everything you need to get started. This is not network marketing. It's a genuine opportunity to build a business. How do I know? Linda and I started in our home almost 15 years ago, and we would like to help you start your own herbal business. We are not looking for high-profile salespeople, just someone who loves the Lord and wants to help his people. For more information, call me, Tom Phillips, at 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. I'm looking forward to your call, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Stan Rack here at the American Freedom Network, our guest, Joel Skousen, and now over to the last segment. Go ahead, Joel.
Well, we're talking about the new revelation of E. Howard Hunt admitting his part in the JFK assassination. And, of course, E. Howard Hunt was tied to the CIA. He was working technically. This shows you how the CIA puts these people out into private practice, so to speak, while they're still working secretly. He was one of those who worked for J.R. Mullins and Associates, the PR firm run by none other than Robert F. Bennett, who is the current senator from Utah. And, you know, I'm sure that as the son of another senator, the former, the older senator from Utah, young Robert was given an opportunity to, by the CIA, to do something patriotic, to start a front organization, and his first client was Howard Hughes, which dropped in some $300,000 into his coffers to start this firm, and he was to take on CIA agents as private individuals supposedly working for this PR firm. One of those was E. Howard Hunt and a few other of the Watergate burglars. Now, I am not saying that Senator Bennett of Utah, who is a very fine person, knowingly understood what those people were doing under him. He simply thought, as a naive patriot American, that I'm doing our duty by running a CIA front company. And the evil things that they do under his name certainly have come probably to his attention later on, but he has to shrug his shoulders and say, well, I didn't know. Well, at some point, you know, you've got to be suspicious that what you're doing in the name of government, can cast dispersions ultimately upon your own reputation. But it's unfortunately that people have a very broad ability to rationalize, and so did E. Howard Hunt. I mean, he felt, according to his son, that as a loyal CIA member and feeling like these were super patriots in the CIA, that if Kennedy was going to destabilize and they were critics, for example, of Kennedy and his leftist advisors who were had intervened in the Bay of Pigs to ruin the invasion of Cuba. And so there was discontent among the patriotic versions of the members of the CIA. And so if their higher-ups were to give them a rumor that Kennedy was going to destroy our organization and disperse us to the wind, you can see how people can say, well, in the name of patriotism, we've got to, or the leaders would say, we have to take this guy out and remove him. And these, when you get used to doing a lot of secret assassination work in the CIA, people's moral compass becomes somewhat skewed, and it's very easy to go down that slippery slope, that path to doing things that are illegal and thinking you're working in the best interest of the country, not realizing that you're actually working for people who have an evil interest higher up. Now, one of the pieces of disinformation, I think, that comes out of the E. Howard Hunt revelations that he alleges on tape that then Vice President Lyndon B. Johnson was involved in the planning of the assassination and the cover-up. Now, he couldn't have had direct knowledge of that. So he had to have been getting that from other people higher up in the CIA, and I think this is disinformation. I think these are things that are given down to the people, the patriotic people in the CIA, to get them to think that there's justification for doing these things and to divert the blame from the real people who are running the show into people like Lyndon Johnson. Now, I'm not exonerating Johnson in any sense. He was a maniacal about political power. He had helped eliminate people in his quest for power to the Senate. But I think he's wrong in saying that LBJ had planned the assassination. In no way did they allow a sitting president like LBJ to actually run the show. These people are puppets themselves, even though they give them certain leeway and actually treat them like they are president. It's only if they get out of line do they put the screws to them and even assassinate them. As in Reagan, I think they did an assassination plot on him specifically to get him to be more compliant, since Reagan was not one of the powers that be. He got in spite of their efforts to keep him out of the presidency. But he became very compliant after that assassination attempt.
Well, you wonder, certainly, what could else could have been done?
Was that a question, Dr. Stanley?
No, no. Go right ahead.
Okay. In another couple of short stories here, you know, there's a big scandal with the D.C. madam threatening to expose the big boys. I somehow hope that she will be able to get that full list out, but I doubt it very much. You know, the federal authorities, when they charged this prostitution leader, Jean Palfrey, with operating a ring, she's not at all been shy about. She's admitted, of course, that she run this escort, but her defense is that she's running it for upscale clients and politicians in the nation's capital. In fact, she probably was confident that because of the high-level people and the you know, kind of the wink and the nod approach, that they all knew that she was going to keep their secret. This is the way these high-class, if you call it that, prostitution rings operate. I think she feels like she's got some immunity, and if it's being threatened, she's going to start naming names. So she may think that she's got them over the barrel, and this is no dummy. She's got a nearly got a law degree, so she's smart enough to know how to use the system. But I think she's a little naive if she thinks that she can get away with it. You know, the courts can ill afford to let her off now that lest the public think her blackmail really worked. They must protect, however, her clients, so I suspect they'll cut a plea bargain, slap her with a mere fine that can make it look like they prosecuted her but let her off easy. Once she's out, though, I wouldn't be surprised if she shows up dead someday. These people are ruthless, and they'll never forget someone who will blow the whistle on them. So
yes, that,
I think
that very thought crossed my mind. I certainly wouldn't want to be writing her life insurance.
You know, she has to hold the cards now, but as I say, once they get her out of the way and she's got no more reason to release those things, she could end up dead, and that'll be very interesting. Other little news stories here. The Bush administration is backing out of its promise to stop warrantless phone taps.
Oh, we're out of time, Joel. Well,
all right.
We'll have to pick it up next week. Thanks very much for being with us.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Everyone knows what you can find at the end of a rainbow. That's right, a pot full of gold. But who can find the end of a rainbow? Well, we have, and it's down at the corner. That's right, the corner. The Corner Coins and Jewelry Incorporated. Family owned and operated by John and Carol Anderson for over 16 years. Specializing in precious metals, gold and silver investments, and rare coins. Have it and hold it locally down at the corner. The corner of Remington and Mulberry in Fort Collins. The Corner Coins and Jewelry, 970-482-7759. That's 970-482-7759.
Find out how BioSuperfood has helped thousands of people everywhere, providing health benefits for heart disease, cancer, diabetes, fibromyalgia, liver disorders, osteoarthritis, glaucoma, depression, allergies, nervous system disorders, and much more. BioSuperfood is making an impact on how people everywhere approach health and nutrition. Join Dr. Roland Thomas every second Friday at 2 p.m. on the Danette Daniels Show, KHNC 1360 AM.
Enjoyed Joel as I always do, and of course this is the time I do need to mention that Radio Liberty is listener supported, and if you're you know, enjoy our programs, you listen to them elsewhere. As you know, we do 5 hours every day on the internet. You can hear us on Global Star. That's Global Star, www.globalstar, and then just go to the fourth channel, and you can listen 9 hours a day and really not get much of anything accomplished under any circumstances. Please tell others about our programs, encourage them to listen, and we'll try to keep you abreast of what's really going on. Now, I do want to mention I am going to be there at the theater in Loveland on the 9th of June. If you're interested in knowing more, why, you can call 970-346-3742. That's 970-346-3742, and we'll be talking about the origin of the wars of the 19th and 20th centuries and how that applies to what's going on today, because as Joel has brought out, and I believe it's really very, very true, we are not there in Iraq and Iran, Iraq, I said, in Afghanistan, to win the wars. I mean, after all, we're financing the Pakistani government that is financing the Pakistani intelligence that is financing the Taliban who are killing our boys on the poppy fields and on the plains of Afghanistan. Why would you do something that stupid? Why would you never give the American military either the equipment or the manpower to at least win the war, divide the country up into three parts, establish stability, and come home? They don't want us there. They're going to continue fighting until we stop occupying their country and stealing their oil. And the truth is, we have no intention of ever leaving. And more boys will continue dying, and I fear that what they really want to do is get us into a war with Iran and the entire Islamic world. And there's far more terrorism today than there was a year ago, and more a year ago than there was before that. We are doing everything we can to create and finance and build up this radical Islamic movement and create the best enemy money can buy. You need to see my interview with Professor Sutton on the best enemy money can buy. You need, of course, to understand how we have created the enemy of Nazism, the book Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, how we created communism, the book Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, and certainly my interview with Professor Sutton, the best enemy money can buy. You must understand, it's like deja vu all over again. Why did we go into Vietnam? A wonderful diversion to keep the American people from realizing that they were transforming America at home. One reason we are in the Middle East today is to draw our attention away from the globalist agenda being played out here in the United States. As they destroy our sovereignty, they destroy the value of our currency, ultimately to destroy the stability of our nation, to justify the implementation of dictatorship in the name of course, maintaining our freedom. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. You need to see our new 4-tape set, The Secret Behind the Secret, and my talk, The Bit Secret, on available on DVD. It's still possible, of course.
Want to talk to the American Freedom Network? Contact us at P.O. Box 1750, Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmericaNewsNet.com.
Some churches believe that Christians will be raptured before the coming of the Great Tribulation. Have you heard this teaching? Have you wondered if it was true? The Watchman's Cry is an interesting book by Obadiah Frank that uses the Bible and clearly explains that this teaching is not true. You can get The Watchman's Cry from the American Freedom Network by calling 1-800-205-6245. This amazing book is only $10 postpaid. Get it now by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is a new book written by scientist Thomas Smith.